This is Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Yes, it is, my people. It is just that. Carlin, a.k.a. the big fella, with you right here. 98.7 ESPN at 800-919-3776, 800-919-ESPN. Of course, you can hit us up on Twitter. It's at Chris Carlin on Instagram and on TikTok, That Guy Carlin. We begin with the New York Football Giants. And quite simply, I sat watching the Giants-Dolphins game, and the only thing I could continue to think of was the Giants are 4-7. How did they ever win four? Because this is, in every way, a terrible, terrible football team. And it's so frustrating that I could sit there and know that there was absolutely no chance throughout the day that they were going to win the game. And that there was any semblance of playmaker on their offense, one bit, none, zero, zippo. The Giants have one playmaker, and that is Kadarius Toney. And that was not a factor yesterday. No Saquon Barkley. I heard about that for months. Well, Daniel Jones hasn't had Saquon Barkley. Well, he hasn't had Kenny Golladay. Well, he hasn't had Sterling Shepard. Doesn't matter who's out there. The Giants' offense is the same front to back. Do you know, did you know that the Giants are 32nd in the league in explosive pass plays? Pass plays that are over 20 yards. Did you know that there's only 32 teams in the league? So it's actually telling you that when it comes to explosive plays, the Giants are not good. That would be like some sort of a verbal question on the SAT. And then after the fact, I hear from the head coach. And this is what really has, well, chapped my keister, so to speak.
Ultimately, though, 9 points and 250 yards. So people are going to look at that and say, like, how can you be encouraged when the results just weren't there?
I saw a lot of players make a lot of big plays, and that's what we got to do. We got to get the ball in our players' hands, let them make plays, let them extend plays and be explosive players. And that's our focus as a team. So that's what we're looking to do. We're going to play to the players, play to their strengths. So a lot of things today that really got the players involved. There are a lot of third and longs that we converted.
With
a lot
what?
Of players making big plays. Thought Freddie did a good job calling things aggressively and pushing it down the field. Thought Mike really had the right mindset in how he wanted to play that thing. And there was opportunities for catch and runs. We got the thing out and did that. But then also, you know, pushing down the field. So Kenny makes some big catches. Evan makes some big catches. You know, these are some things that turn around. And you've got to make these plays and be able to make these plays in critical situations and in tough games. We knew it was going to be a lot of tight contested catch today. It's a very well-coached defense. They play very aggressive, very tight on you. So through the week, we talked a lot to our players about you got to defend your leverage, come out of the breaks, and you got to make those tight catches. And I was pleased to see our guys come up with a number of those today.
Who? What? Wait. How? Who? Are you talking about? That sounded like Newt Rockne after seven Red Bulls. Talking so fast as he does that you're almost hoping, if you're Joe Judge, that we don't actually notice what you're fully saying. I've said it before this season, I'll say it again. This is a poorly coached football team. Poorly coached. It wasn't just Jason Garrett. The sequence of sack, lose 15 yards, timeout to avoid delay of game, sack, delay of game, draw with a penalty on a direct snap to a running back on 3rd and 97, and then on 3rd and 98, run a draw. Was a maddening, maddening sequence. But really, it was just a microcosm of what the Giants are. Please tell me, if you can, what the identity of the New York Giants is. What is it? because I have no answer. And we have talked ad nauseum about how this season was going to play out. That you were going to expect later in the year that they would win a couple of games and you'd see Dave Gettleman go off into retirement. And then you would see them go ahead and just keep Joe Judge and move into the future that way. New GM next year, who will then turn around after next season and fire the head coach. A disaster of a salary cap. Like, when you look at these players, who would you look at and say, man, it's a good thing we're paying that dude that much money? Who? Who? Kenny Golladay made a couple of catches yesterday. Oh, guess what? Hurt again. Ribs. Yep. Who do you look at and say, thank God we have blank? You don't. What about Joe Judge gives you any semblance whatsoever of faith for the future? Guys, there shouldn't be any further discussion about this, except a couple of truths here. Number one is this is a full teardown. This is a full rip it apart. This is a full, we've got nothing to build on in the future with two or three small exceptions. Nothing. Andrew Thomas, yes. Kadarius Toney, yes. Leonard Williams, yeah, sure. What else? Couple of players here and there, but nobody that really sticks out. Complete teardown. Number two, if you bring back the coach, you're prolonging the inevitable. This is not a well-coached team. This is not a well-coached team. This is not a well-coached team. This is a universal fact about the New York Giants. Don't let the lack of talent that exists hide the fact that the head coach is not getting the message across. All the push-ups, all the laps back in training camp haven't meant jack squadoosh. Zero. Zero. There has been absolutely no translation whatsoever in that regard. And that leads us to number three. When it's a complete teardown and it's a poorly coached team, it's now the owner. And I know there are those of you that feel like John Mara and the Mara family are terrible owners. They're not. John Mara wants to win as much as you do, if not more. And I know that's crazy to say, considering what's transpired here, but trust me when I tell you, that's true. I think John is going to watch this the rest of the season and not expect to see a couple of wins and not let a couple of wins cloud the judgment. They're going to do the right thing here. Because this has got to be ripped apart piece by piece. Move on now. It has to happen. By now, I mean January, at the end of the season. New GM, new coach, new players. It's going to get worse next year before it gets better. Make no mistake about that. Let me repeat it so you understand it. It's going to get worse next year before it gets better. Because they are in salary cap hell. They are in quarterback hell. They are in all of that. And they're going to be a bad football team for the next couple of more years. But it has to be done. Because this is an utter nightmare from which there is no waking up if you decide to bring the coach back. He is just another Belichick wannabe, period. Lines are open now. That number is 800-800-919-3776. 919-3776, 800-919-ESPN. I would encourage you to get involved in the show very early. We will talk about the Jets and what we saw yesterday. We will talk more about the answer that we actually got on Daniel Jones yesterday without him even stepping on the field.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
I'd like to believe that there was some part of that in Joe Judge, but he's not a leader of men because they're not responding to him, and there's no cult of personality here with the Giants because I don't even know what the personality is of the Giants. 800-919-3776. It's Carlin with you. Let's start with Malik from Montclair tonight on 98.7 ESPN. Malik, how you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Good.
Two questions, and it pertains to what you're saying. What coach would you recommend that we go after? And with Daniel Jones, we definitely have to move on from Daniel Jones. But with the draft, we're not going to get a quarterback that falls to us. Who should we go after that's not going to be a short-term rental?
Well, there may not be – if you listen to the experts, and I don't know if this is worth anything anymore on any front, the experts don't believe that there's like a top quarterback in the first round of this draft, that there's a guy that is worth trading up to go get, which kind of fits – anyway, because, you know, the Giants went out and got that extra first-round pick and wanted to have the extra draft collateral just in case that situation presented itself, and now here they are without a potential answer in the draft. Now, having said all of that, as far as the coach, I can't sit here and tell you I got the guy right now. What I do know is this ain't the guy. This is not the guy. This is not the guy.
Yeah.
Now, I can look in a couple of different directions. I don't particularly want to hear about bringing in the next hot coordinator and the next hot young coach because that hasn't worked out the last few times. Would I love to see somebody more established? I would. But it doesn't look to me like there are great answers out there that are guys that have won championships and are right there waiting to take the Giants' job. Unless you want to go back and bring in somebody, and I'm not even in favor of this, but if you wanted to hand the reins over to Bill Cowher, well, that's I would get that. But the problem is, for me, he's still too far removed from when he was a really, really good coach. I mean, we're talking 15 years now at this point where he hasn't been a coach.
I agree. So, with that being said, we have the two draft picks that we're going to have coming up in the first round. So what do you think we should do with those?
Obviously, I think the Giants just need talent. I think the Giants just need great talent at every position. Thanks for the call. I think they need great talent at every position. They need another offensive lineman, another tackle. Matt Peart is not the answer. The interior of that offensive line is not great. You can look anywhere, and I honestly wouldn't have a complaint unless it was running back. This is the other thing. And I'll spend more time on this later. There's no reason to talk about Saquon Barkley anymore. There just isn't. You know, if you want to put stock into what Pro Football Focus says and how they analytically break down players, here's a nugget for you. Out of 37 running backs this year, primary guys, he's 35th. 35th out of 37. Carlos in the Bronx, next, 98.7 ESPN. Carlos, what's going on?
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
So I've been better. What do you got?
All right, so I wanted to make the call because I wanted to challenge what you said earlier about the Giants only really having two or three players to move on with. But I do want to agree exactly with what you said about Saquon just now, because I feel like the Giants waiting for him to pop is hampering this team.
Wait until they get the full Saquon back, and maybe this is true. Maybe next year, because they do say that it's 2 years after ACL surgery when you really get back to being the player that you were before. Maybe that'll happen. All I can tell you right now is I don't believe that's going to happen.
I don't believe it either, because right now Devontae Booker looks like a better running back. But what I think about the Giants is I feel like the Giants do have a lot of talent, and it's frustrating what I'm about to say because I've been a fan, but I'm starting to believe that it's probably the quarterback where we need to move on from. Because what I was thinking this week is, what if we had a GM that thought outside the box and went out and grabbed the Gardner Minshew? What would a Gardner Minshew would have looked like in this offense versus a Mike Glennon? Because the offensive pieces are there. It feels like we just need that spark plug to bring it all together. And I think the Giants are just stuck in the past. And I feel like this team would have been a good team in the early 2000s, not in 2021.
I think there are times that teams specifically look for a backup quarterback who everybody knows is a backup quarterback, as opposed to looking for the best player at that position. Specifically because when you have a young quarterback who is not developing, you're going to have people screaming and yelling about getting him out there and getting the next guy in. And listen, look at what Philadelphia won yesterday. Look at what's going to happen in Philadelphia right now. So they may not feel like Jalen Hurts is the answer. I don't know the answer to that. I think he's pretty good. I think he'll get better throwing the ball. But they are going to be screaming and yelling down there today about Gardner Minshew. And they're not necessarily wrong to do it because he looked pretty damn good.
That's right.
Carlos, I appreciate the call. I absolutely believe that Mike Glennon's the backup quarterback because the Giants did not want to bring in a bigger presence, somebody that people still felt like could go out there and play. Let's talk about it for a second, though. Your keepers, beyond the two or three guys, the three or four guys that are a part of the solution. Kadarius Toney is part of the solution. Andrew Thomas is a part of the solution. Leonard Williams is a part of the solution. Ojulari? James Bradbury? Dexter Lawrence? Dory Jackson? What am I looking at here, guys? Give me some answers. Because that's maybe four players, maybe, that are part of the long-term solution. Michael in Dallas is up next on 98.7 ESPN. Big Mike, what do you got for me tonight?
Hey, how are you this evening? Love listening to your show. Gives me a little New York from Dallas. Hey, I just wanted to say I agree with you about the coach. I will say that I saw that news conference yesterday, and he lost. And he hasn't before then. But I don't know what game he was watching, but it certainly wasn't the game he was describing.
I don't get it. Sit tight for a second, all right? When I hear this, it's maddening.
You credit that team. Obviously, they went out there and did enough to win the game. There's a lot of things that I saw today in the way we played. A lot of things that are moving in the right direction. A lot of things I'm very pleased with in terms of how we competed. We were able to make some stops at critical moments, able to make some good decisions. A lot of guys stepped up in different situations, but ultimately we got to make more plays, got to take advantage of the opportunities in front of us, and got to make sure that we capitalize on opportunities when we have a chance to go ahead and make big time, you know, swings in the game.
What the hell are we talking about here? You weren't playing the greatest show on turf yesterday.
For sure. And I think one of the other problems, at least just from an outsider's perspective, is that you mentioned it before that the team's not well coached, and that presents a whole other problem, which to me is simply how well can we really evaluate all the players on this team if they haven't been that well coached? Because then, you know, you bring in I don't know who the next coach should be, but let's assume for a second that they get somebody that can add some value to the situation. You know, it wouldn't surprise me that some of these marginal players start playing a lot better, that they're put in positions that present themselves in a lot better light.
Michael,
I think the worst part of this.
Michael, you just hit on something. You just hit on something, and thanks for the call. Putting players in positions to be successful. You have heard me talk about Bill Belichick in this regard. And look, none of us like him, okay? But we understand what he is and we respect what he does outside of the whole cheating bit. Because the one thing that he does better than anybody else is taking players and putting them in positions to be successful, accentuating their strengths. What player have the Giants taken and put them into a position to make them better by accentuating what they do really well? Like, I've literally seen Bill Belichick take a guy who is out of a job in the NFL, and 2 weeks later, he's making a difference in a playoff game. I'll never forget. He did that with Hank Poteet in the mid-2000s, and he's not the only one. He's just a prime example. There have been plenty of guys like that, guys that you would never think would ever be a big part of a defensive game plan to help stop another team, yet he wasn't worried about what they couldn't do. He put them in positions to be successful. When you have losing coaches, you know what they talk about a lot? What they don't have. That's what they spend time focusing on. Well, I don't have this. I don't have that. I don't have this. I need that. That's a loser's mentality. That's a loser's mentality. You never hear Belichick talk like that. Not that you heard Joe Judge talk like that yesterday. You just heard him covering for his team and being just disrespectful to the fans in saying stuff like that, because we all know it's not true, Joe. Like, you know what kept going through my mind that drove me absolutely nuts in the moment? What happened to the team that the blue-collar, tough New Yorkers could be proud of? What happened to that? That was the premise, wasn't it? Where is that? There is no blue-collar, tough identity to the New York Giants at all. At all. So, Coach, when am I going to get the chance to see that?
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
In relation to the Giants and what we were talking about earlier, yeah, coaching is a big part of what's going on. So is a lack of talent. Can we be clear? That's why this is a teardown. This is absolutely a teardown. Don't make any mistake about that. Okay? Look at this from this perspective. There are 4 to 5 players who I honestly look at to be part of the solution for the Giants, who are young enough and who are worth keeping here to rebuild with. Other than that, I don't know what else we're looking at here. And so, this was a story that was relayed to me by Rich Ackerman. And you know Ack from the other station, and he is a good man. And he relayed this story to me several years ago about a friend of his. This friend was playing in a pro-am in golf, and ended up playing with Greg Norman, of all people. As crazy as that is. Can you imagine that? Not at all stressful to play with Greg Norman. But he does. And so later on, he gets Greg Norman aside, and they're chatting for a second, and he said, you know, can you give me any 1 or 2 tips about my game or my swing, whatever? And you know that Greg Norman is a guy that gets asked this all the time, right? So Norman says to him, well, yeah, I think you have a loft problem. A loft problem? I thought I hit the ball high enough and that was good enough. Like, that was where, that wasn't my primary issue. No. Not loft. Lack of blanking talent. That loft. And he just walked away. He wasn't trying to be funny to joke that there was a guy. He was making a point like, yeah, you're not good. Get away. The Giants, they have a loft problem right now. Let's be clear on that. They have a coaching problem. They have a talent problem. They have every kind of problem that you can have. And that's not good. You know what else is not good? They are absolutely in quarterback hell, as Dave Gettleman would say. I knew yesterday, watching this game, that if Daniel Jones was on the field, there absolutely would have been no difference whatsoever to how the Giants played and if they would have won the game. That's what I was thinking in that moment after I first thought, how did this team ever win four games? And so, with that being the case, doesn't that really tell you that Daniel Jones is not the answer? I mean, there was nothing about Mike Glennon's performance that was remotely good. I've seen bad offense. I know what it looks like. When you throw the ball 45 times or 35 times and you end up getting 130 yards, I think at one point he had thrown it like 27 times. And it wasn't terrible. It was like 15 of 27 for 118 yards. Oh, my God. That's bad offense. That's bad offense, especially when you can't run the football. If you can run the football, that's different. If you're Navy and you're lining up in the triple option, or, you know, if you're the Philadelphia Eagles and you are the number one rushing attack in the league and you are pounding people like they did yesterday, then you gotta, then you're okay. It's bad offensive football otherwise, and that's absolutely what's going on. So when that's the case, haven't I finally answered that question? Just be honest with yourself. Call me up and answer this question. Do you feel like yesterday would have been any different whatsoever if the quarterback was Daniel Jones as opposed to Mike Glennon? And be honest with your answer. 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN. My guy Buddha in the Bronx is up next on 98.7 ESPN. Buddha, what up, baby?
God daddy, it's been a minute.
It has been. Too long. My fault, yeah. But actually the Knicks and Rangers' fault, really, but that's okay.
Yeah. I mean, I missed you, but, you know, I'm glad you're back.
Good to be here.
Listen. You know, being a Jets fan is like that scene in The Bourne Identity. You know, he took out that assassin in the woods and he shot him up with a shotgun. And then the guy looked at him and he said, look at what they ask you. Look at what they make you give.
I know. I understand. At least tell me this, though. I'll get more to the Jets in a bit, though. Did you leave the game yesterday any more encouraged about the quarterback?
You know what? That's what I kind of called you about. It's three things where, and I listen to your assessment a lot. And, you know, I listen to my sister Tessa, you know, and I hear her pain and I hear her struggle. But I'll just say this much to you. With the Giants as opposed to the Jets, the Giants have champagne problems as opposed to the Jets. You know, first, you know, the coaching is bad for both teams. Let's call it a stat. You know, Salah, I would just say this, if I was his personal friend, there's a lot of times you never want to take the first job that's offered to you until you interview a couple other places. You know, young Mr. Zach Wilson, he has the potential to be a good quarterback, but in my humble opinion, his better days are going to come on his second contract when he's playing for a West Coast team. I don't see him having the build, the durability. There's a lot that goes into being the quarterback here, specifically for the Jets. I think both of them underestimated what they're up against, and next year the venom is going to be even worse. But third point, and which is the most concerning point, like, and you don't have to be a Jets fan. You don't have to be a New York football fan or anything. If you just look at this, take off the rose-colored glasses, take the pom-poms off, because we got a lot of those Jets fans that like to call in. When you look at this division, as opposed to the division the Giants in, you look at this division, you got McDermott paired with Allen. Now you got Belichick paired with mac and cheese. You're not being better than either one of them with Zach Wilson and Robert Saleh. That's a given. But the sad part is, there's a possibility, strong possibility at this point, you're not even going to be better than Flores and Tua. So, like, in the long run,
I think we're pushing it now. I think we're pushing it now, Buddha. I do. I mean, look, Tua.
What makes Saleh better than Flores?
I didn't say that. I think Flores is a good coach. And they've won five in a row. Whereas earlier in the year, he might have been in some trouble. They've done a nice job, and Tua's done a nice job. But let's be clear, like, it's not like the Dolphins were throwing the ball down the field. Their RPO is about as strong as can be because Tua does a great job of selling it, and he's incredibly accurate on his short throws. And so they will just continue to nick you to death the whole time. Now, as far as Wilson and Tua, I'm not giving up on Wilson this soon. I think I don't know that we have the answer on him yet. And yesterday, what I saw in the first half, he looked every bit the part. He looked every bit the part. He had one throw sail on him that turned into an interception, and he had another that probably could have been. But other than that, like, he didn't have the ball in the third quarter. The Jet defense couldn't get off the field. They had three plays in the third quarter. So anyway,
yeah, but that's what I was saying, though. It's a combination. It's not, if you're going to line up Zach Wilson and line him up against Tua and put them in, you know, a combine drill, Zach Wilson is going to outperform Tua every single time. But you're touching on what I'm talking about. It's a combination. The defense is horrible. You got a guy here who's the defensive coach. The defense is horrible. I like how you guys still in the station. In every show, I keep hearing about how all these other people need to be better on the Jets, except for the person who's acquiring the talent.
Oh, Joe needs to be better, absolutely. But I think we're starting to see some of the younger players play better. Look, the Jets defensively are bad. Look, they need better talent. There's no getting around that. Thanks for the call.
Yeah.
It's not that I'm not criticizing Joe. He absolutely needs to do a better job. I think we're seeing some of what he saw in the last couple of drafts actually play out a little bit better. I mean, you can't argue with what Vera Tucker's done. Carter, we don't know about. I know everybody's gaga over Carter, but we don't know about Carter yet. Not until he comes back and is actually able to stay healthy. Denzel Mims, I can't help you when you're making mistakes like you did yesterday with that penalty. I just, a crackback block that was unnecessary, I can't help you. You're right. Joe has to do a better job. There's no doubt. Hopefully you get Becton back and he's the left tackle that he's supposed to be. But frankly, I'd much rather be in the Jet situation than in the Giants situation, because I know that I've got a lot more cap room. I know I've got the draft picks, even though the Giants have it too. Giants can't do anything with that cap next year. That's why this is a teardown. The Jets need Corey Davis to be healthy next year, and they need Carl Lawson to be healthy next year. They're two big imports. You know, Corey didn't do very much this year at all with the young quarterback, and the Jets need to get better on the offensive line, even more so. There's a lot of work to be done. Don't get me wrong. They need a lot more talent. I'm seeing some of the younger guys they brought in, though, play better. 800-919-3776, 800-919-ESPN. Can you honestly say that if the Giants had Daniel Jones yesterday, the result would have been any better?
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
You know, it's funny. I'm sitting there and, you know, Gardner Minshew, it turns out, is going to play quarterback yesterday for the Philadelphia Eagles. And so after the game, you hear that Bryce Hall says the Jets were not prepared at all for Gardner Minshew to come out and play. That is not what they had game planned for. You know, did I miss it? And like, all of a sudden, you were completely thrown off because Peyton Manning was coming out. I mean, there was nothing like this. Oh, my God! My God, that's Gardner Minshew's music! All the humanity! No. No, no, no. That's not what was happening. Please. Please. Look, the Jets clearly thought that Jalen Hurts was going to play. And there is an aspect of having a quarterback as a backup who is completely different style-wise from your starter that can pay off. And that was having Gardner Minshew back up Jalen Hurts yesterday. Because what does Gardner Minshew do? He's better at throwing the football than Hurts is, and Hurts is going to kill you in the run game. Now, if you're going to sit there and say you weren't prepared for it at all, it's not like the schemes are all that much different in what they do. So Minshew goes out there yesterday and absolutely tears it up because the Jets' defense is just not very good. That's what you need to be paying attention to. If the Jet defense were any good, they would have been able to play better against Minshew. But the issue is down the field. You've got receivers that are open all over the place. You can't let a third and 18 get converted. Listen, the idea that they just were completely thrown off and had no clue that Gardner Minshew was going to be the quarterback, and thus they were just overall lost with the situation, is absurd, okay? They expected Hurts to be the guy, so they prepare a certain way. So how much time are you going to spend preparing on a guy that's thrown two passes this season when it sounded like he was just questionable all week and you found out finally when it got to it on Saturday night, the reports first came out that Minshew was going to play. I don't believe for a second that what happened with the Jets yesterday had to do with a lack of preparation. I think that had more to do with a lack of talent on the defensive side. They're just not very good. There are guys who may end up being pretty good. There are guys who we know are going to be able to help, but who do you look at, especially with who they've lost this season, and say, this is the guy we're counting on? Look at what the secondary's been all year. Even when Marcus May was healthy. Look, I fully believe that as bad as things are for the Jets right now, they're going to get better sooner than the Giants. And as frustrated as you are as a Jet fan, I believe that a lot of the pain you're feeling right now is going to start to be a thing of the past next year. Because I believe yesterday we saw the quarterback start to look the part. Was he great all day? No. He was very good in the first half. In the third quarter, they had the ball for three plays because the defense couldn't get off the field. I mean, the Eagles scored on their first seven possessions. You didn't see the punter, Aaron Sipos, to get out on the field other than to hold for a field goal or an extra point the entire day until the fourth quarter. So I don't believe for a minute it had anything to do with that. I do believe that when you started to see Wilson understand exactly what he was doing, yeah, the first 15 or 20 plays are scripted, and then you go off script, well, you get to understand that this is a guy that it's just going to take longer for. It's just going to take longer for him. Not everybody is great right away. Mac Jones is doing what he's doing in New England because this is all Mac Jones ever had to do in college. This is all he ever had to do. And again, it's Belichick taking his quarterback and putting him in positions to do the things that he's great at. It's asking him to not make big mistakes. It's not asking him to go win the game. The Jets just need Zach Wilson to not have that instinct to go win the game by himself all the time. And yesterday we saw progress in that direction. And when Robert Saleh said that Zach Wilson played his best game yesterday, that's 100% true. It's not going to Canton. Don't get me wrong. But that absolutely was the best game that he has played. And you just hope you continue to see more progress. The Jets are in position to get better if they hit on the draft picks, which they have to do. If some of the younger players start to play better, which a lot of them are. I mean, can we admit Elijah Moore looks like a big-time player? Elijah Moore looks like he could be an outstanding receiver. And can we also understand that while they took a kick in the pants in what happened this year with Davis and with Carl Lawson, next year you hope they'll be back and be a bigger factor, and you also get two high draft picks with which you can go get another pass rusher, with which you can go get another stud offensive lineman or another weapon offensively, and really start to move forward and see true progress and spend more money in free agency. They haven't done things to dig themselves into a massive hole for the long term. They haven't. 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN. The defense is just terrible right now. That's all there is to it. The Jeff Ulbrich factor, whether he's truly running the defense or Saleh is, and I do think Ulbrich is, because I think Saleh's trying to be a head coach. It's Saleh's defense. They have to be better and make adjustments. Like, because wide open receivers all over the place. I mean, I'm calling the game yesterday, and I think I said the words wide open four or five times in relation to Eagles receivers.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.